Did you know that when you remember something, you're not actually remembering the event? What on earth am I on about? Stay tuned, find out more.
You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hey, hello, welcome. Thank you so much for joining me on another episode. I hope you enjoy this. I hope you get a lot out of this. I hope you find this useful. Do remember to give us a like, a comment, a share, a subscribe. Drop us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Now, memory. I said when we remember something, we're not actually remembering the event itself. And it's true. You see, when you remember something, you're actually remembering the last time you remembered it. So what's going on, and how can we make use of this? You see, what's going on is, with memory, when we remember something, when we recall a memory, the act of recalling that memory actually destroys the memory. It's like, in order to taste a cake, you have to eat the cake, right? The cake's now gone. You know what it tastes like, but the cake's gone. Oh. Okay, is it just me who wants cake now? Anyway, so when you replay a memory, the memory, which is formed of the electrical charges, the chemicals, all that sort of stuff in the brain, they're drained away as you replay the memory. It wipes it. So, what? How? Why? But we can still remember things from ages ago. What's going on? You see, what happens is, when you replay a memory, our brain, our mind, actually records us remembering the memory. So, although the memory gets destroyed, we actually record a memory of us remembering the memory. So we record what we remembered. And that's how our memory can continue to grow, last a long time. That's why you can remember events that you've maybe remembered many times. Each time you remember it, you actually make a new copy of that memory. You record that, remembering the memory. It's kind of like if you went to a cinema and you're watching a film and you video the film. Don't do that, get into trouble. But if you video the film, you're videoing the film that you're watching. So you have a copy of the film. However, with our memory, just like if you did that at a cinema, you'd included on that recording that you make would be the sounds from the cinema, the person next to you eating their, munching away on their popcorn, the person two rows in front who gets up and walks past, all those things get included in this recording of the film. So they're now part of the film when you watch your recording. And so it is with our memory. When we record us remembering something, so when our mind, when our brain creates this new memory of us remembering whatever it was we were remembering, other stuff that's going on can sometimes seep in to this memory. So there's a few things going on here. First is to remind ourselves that when we remember something, we're just replaying the last time we remembered it. And we're making a recording of us replaying the last time we remembered it. And that becomes what we play back next time we remember it. So that's how our memory can continue to last. Even though replaying a memory wipes the memory out, that's how we can continue to remember things that we've remembered in the past. But as we remember it, so other stuff can kind of creep in. And that can be a problem for us, because that can make our memory unreliable. That can mean that what we're remembering is not necessarily what actually happened. This, incidentally, is why in a court, eyewitness testimony is often considered one of the least reliable forms of evidence, because our memory can be so easily confused. Even though we might swear blind we remember something in a particular way, it can be that our memory has been influenced. And this has been shown many, many, many times in studies and court cases, also many, many, many times. I mean, let's give you a really trivial example here. If I said there were three cars, there were three blue cars, all speeding along, and they jumped the red light. All three of them jumped the red light. That's what I'm going to tell you. And we'll come back to that in just a couple of moments. We'll come back to that in a couple of moments. Just remember that all three of them jumped the red light. We'll come back to that in a moment. But yes, in court, eyewitness testimony can be unreliable, because when we replay a memory and record us replaying that memory, other stuff that's going on can kind of creep into it. So, for example, what that can mean is if you're being questioned about a memory, we can kind of fill in some of the gaps, and they then actually become part of our recording of our memory. There was a case in, I believe it was America, where somebody was being charged with having committed a murder. And one of the eyewitnesses swore blind that they saw this person standing over the dead body whilst holding a gun in their hand. Holding a gun at the side of their hand, standing over the dead body. They swore blind this, and they were utterly, utterly convinced that is what they had seen. When they're asked, did you see a gun in his hand? Yes, yes, I very clearly saw a gun in his hand as he was standing over the dead body. Other evidence, I can't remember how it was, whether it was others who were there or whether it was video evidence, showed that the person who swore blind and was utterly convinced that they saw a gun in this person's hand couldn't have seen that person's hand because there was a piece of furniture or a low wall in the way. So they couldn't actually see the hand. And yet, they were utterly convinced they had seen a gun. They were convinced they could remember having seen a gun in that hand. Interesting. Or we quite possibly, many of us will have heard of the Mandela effect, where we think we remember something in popular culture, but it actually turns out it was something slightly, it was a little bit different from what we all think we all remember. Because our memory is not as reliable as we'd like it to be. Remembering those cars jumping through the red light? We'll come back to this in a moment. So, what does that mean for us? Can we make use of this? Well, yes, absolutely we can. We can actually use this in a positive way, excuse me, and in a therapeutic environment to help us change the way we respond to things. You see, as we've discussed in previous episodes, when we're born as a blank slate. We're not scared of anything. We have no fears. We have no anxieties, no worries. Excuse me, none of that. All of those things we learn over time. Yeah, we learn over time. And our unconscious mind doesn't want to have to learn things from first principles every time. So when you wake up in the morning and you get out of bed and you walk to your dressing, walk to where your clothes are so you can get dressed, you don't have to learn how to walk from first principles. You don't have to learn how to dress yourself every morning. Clearly life would be very different if we had to learn everything afresh each morning. Your mind has learned these things. It's got kind of like this rule book or this set of programs, like the software you've got on your computer. We need to get dressed. Oh, okay, yeah, we have a program that does that. We need to walk. Yeah, let's execute the walk program. We can do all these things because we've learned all these things, and our mind replays them, and that's how we go through life. And so it is with fears, with phobias, with bad habits, with anxieties, with worry. We learn these things, and they become part of our programming. Sometimes helpful. Sometimes less helpful. If we've learned that something is scary, even when it's not scary, like a spider, for example, we might have learned when we were very young that they're terrifying. We develop a phobia of spiders. very, very unhelpful. I know I used to have a phobia of spiders, and it was very unhelpful. Of course, the ridiculous thing is you'd be thinking, I know that can't hurt me. I know this fear is irrational, but I can't do anything about it. I'm terrified. Because our mind had learned, when we see that, we play back the memory of the first time we encountered this thing. Ooh, lots of fear, right? That's what we do this time. We know how to do it. We know what to do. We replay the fear. You might have cottoned on to what's going on here. We can take advantage of the fact that when we remember something, we're actually only remembering the last time we remembered it. And that remembering those things can get corrupt. Because what we can do is we can change, subtly change the emotions associated with that memory. Because when we replay a memory, particularly if it was of a significant emotional event, there will be lots of emotion that also gets replayed with it. Because that's also stored in our memory. Stored with it all day, how we feel, all of our senses, all our emotions, that all get stored with it. So if we can change the emotion that's stored with this thing, then next time we replay the memory of remembering the thing, we get different emotions. So if, for example, every time we remember a spider, we bring back all the panic and the fear and the terror, obviously next time we see one, we replay the memory of last time we remembered seeing one to know what to do, boom, get all the panic and terror, flips us into panic mode. What if we were able to change that memory, the memories associated with the first time we saw it? We change the emotion, and we can do that. We do that in a therapeutic setting, get you to remember the event, but add lots of silliness to it, get you laughing, get you changing the emotion that's associated. Keep doing that over and over and over and over again, many, many times in a short period of time. The memories that we now have, when we replay that memory of seeing a thing for the first time, we replay the memory, we've kind of overwritten the emotion that's stored there. So we've now got the silliness and the daftness and the laughing. So when we replay it, we go, it's a spider, yeah, cool, we're no longer scared of it. That kind of, in a bit of a nutshell, excuse me, is sort of how we can reprogram our minds. It's one of the ways in which we can reprogram the mind, by taking advantage of the fact that our memory is susceptible to corruption, because whenever we remember something, we're actually just remembering the last time we remembered it. So yes, having memory that is susceptible to corruption, because every time we replay the memory, we have to record what we're remembering, re-record it, and that brings in other stuff that's going on at the same time. That can be a bit of a problem, as with an eyewitness testimony, or with those brown cars that were going past the light, all that sort of thing. But we can use it for positive ways in a therapeutic environment, which is also why, I mean, I've explained how we would do it to help overcome a phobia, for example, and that can be done really, really quickly. I mean, one lady I worked with used to be terrified of snakes. It took just under 10 minutes to completely overwrite that phobia. She's absolutely fine with snakes now. 10 minutes is a little on the faster side. Most people take a little bit longer, but not that much. I mean, when I work with people to help them conquer their phobias, we do it in under an hour. It is quick, and the results are permanent. And I know I've used this myself. That's how I know it works, because I did it myself to help overcome phobia of spiders, a phobia of heights, and a fear of speaking with strangers. Quite a combination. We've seen how we can use it to change fears and phobias, but we can also use that for other events which had a strong, significant emotional component to them. So that means you could use similar techniques to help somebody mitigate PTSD, help them overcome those sorts of things by changing the emotion that's associated with the memory of the event. so that when the memory is, next time the memory is replayed, it's less destructive, less hurtful, less harmful emotions. It's more positive emotions that get played back. That's really cool stuff, the mind. Really cool stuff. How what might seem to be a bit of a bug or a flaw in the way it works, we can actually use to our advantage to help us to grow, to help us develop, to be help us to become more well-rounded, and to help us to better face everyday life. Fascinating stuff. Hopefully you found that interesting as well. Do let me know. Drop a comment. Let me know what you think. Now, this spot could be featuring you. There are three different levels at which you can sponsor. We've got a bronze level, where you get to sponsor 1 month's worth of episodes of the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. You get your advert played in this part of the show. You get mentioned in the show notes. And you also get mentioned in most of the social media promo for those episodes. Or we've got the silver level, where you get all of that. Plus, you get sponsorship of the 5-Minute Meditation podcast as well. So you get promoted in 8 lots of show notes, 8 lots of promos. And you get mentioned with a link on the sponsorship page on the website. Or there's the top one, the gold level, where you get all of that. Plus, you get a guest blog on the KeithBlakemoreNoble.com website. Plus, we'll record a special bonus episode of the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show featuring you. 3 different levels, whichever one you want, it's up to you. Just go to KeithBlakemoreNoble.com/show/support to find out more. And you could be our next sponsor in this spot. Now, where were we? So yeah, we've looked at how memory can be corrupted, but how we can also use that in a positive way. And countless people around the world, their lives are better off as a result of it. Now, yes, it can also be used for unhelpful ways, which again is why sometimes eyewitness testimony can be quite unreliable, particularly if one has been got at, as it were, and had one's memories sort of questioned. And now, are you sure that's what you saw? Did you see him holding a gun when you went in the room? Did I see? Well, I guess I probably did. Yes. I remember seeing the gun. We've now constructed that memory, and we're convinced of it because that's now been added into the replaying the memory. So we record it. So our mind records us remembering the memory, but with the gun in there. Which is why courts have to be very careful about not leading the witness. And it's also why therapists and hypnotists and etc., we all have to be very, very careful when working with clients as well, so as not to accidentally install false memories. Because that's where false memories can come in, and that can be a whole nightmare to resolve and to address. So a hypnotist, for example, when working with someone and getting them to replay a scene from an earlier part of their life to help get a better understanding of why they are how they are, must always be very careful when you're asking questions. Never ask, can you see a dot, dot, dot? Instead, you just ask them to describe what they can see. Because if you say, so, can you see a red flower in the background there? Our imagination is going to create a red flower and perhaps pop it in the background so we can see whether or not there is a red. Because how are you going to know if there's a red flower in the background unless you picture a red flower and look at what it would look like in the background so you can now know what you're looking for? And of course, the act of doing that now means our memory, part of our memory is remembering a red flower in the background because we just constructed it. Oh, we just created in a small way a false memory there. So we do have to be very careful, very, very careful. But when you are very careful and you use these things in a positive, constructive way, you can help clients make massive positive change. And that, I think, is a really, really encouraging thing. What do you think? Do you have any experience of this? Are you sort of sat there thinking, well, that explains dot, dot, dot. Let me know. Pop a comment or drop me a line. Let me know what you think. Please also do remember, give us a like, a comment, a share, a subscribe. give us a review, give the podcast a review. That all helps to get this in front of more and more people. That's it on the topic of memory. That's kind of what I wanted to cover today. Oh, yes, back to those cars. Back to those cars. How many, just to see if you were paying attention, how many brown cars jumped the red light? How many brown cars jumped the red light? If you're saying three, I'm afraid you're wrong. Sorry. The answer is none. What are you on about? I said right at the beginning, three blue cars jumped the red light. Rewind and listen to the early part of the podcast, and you'll see where I said it was three blue cars. I then later on mentioned brown cars. See how easy it is for the mind to get corrupted. If, on the other hand, you did pick up the distinction there, fantastic. That is really good. Really good. Your mind is switched on. Still, it doesn't mean that you're immune from your memory having corruption over time, though, as you remember things. So just always be on the lookout for that. Anyway, that's enough for this episode. Thank you so much for joining me. Catch us again in the next episode, where we've got cracking guests lined up for the next episode. And do check out the other episodes. We've got four series of the show. Check them out on your favourite podcast platform. Share it far and wide. Give us a like, as I say, a comment. So do remember to subscribe. And please give us a review. Reviews really help to get the podcast heard by more and more people. That's it for now. Take care. I will catch you in another episode. Thank you so much. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.